The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxie bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
This is a Forcecast Microcast.
Size matters not.
Brought to you by TheForce.net and RebelScum.com.
You may fire when ready.
Hey, Forcecast fans. Jimmy Mack here with you with a report from the 2007 Chicago Toy and Game Fair. Happening this past weekend in Schaumburg, Illinois, the 2007 Chicago Toy and Game Fair brought together gamers and game inventors from all over the country to check out the latest that the gaming industry has to offer. And thanks to the folks at FederationToys.com, the Star Wars presence was huge. Star Wars celebs such as Shaak Ti, Orly Shoshin, original trilogy sand trooper Anthony Forrest, former Star Wars fan club president Dan Madsen, and the 501st made it a weekend to remember. And the first person I talked to was the gorgeous Orly Shoshin, who is known to Star Wars fans as
Shaak Ti.
How you doing, Orly?
Oh, well, thanks. How you doing?
Great. There's the first question I have is, how do you pronounce your last name?
Shoshan. Orly Shoshan.
Shoshan. And what kind of name is that?
Israeli. I'm from Israel.
You are. Now, let's talk about your background a little bit. You were born and raised in Israel?
Yeah. I born and raised in Israel till I was 18, and then I served the Israeli army. When I was 21, I left Israel. I actually came to Chicago. I worked for the Israeli airline in security, want to know more? And then I traveled in India and Thailand. I got to Sydney, Australia. I spent there almost 6 years, Japan, and now I moved back to Israel.
You've been all over the world. What is it about travel that attracts you?
Oh, I love it. I love to meet so many people and new cultures. It's amazing. I think it's and just being in this convention, it's a great opportunity to travel around the world and just having a great time.
Right. So being on the convention circuit is something that's perfect for you since you like to see the world.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's talk about your time in the Israeli army, because looking at you, you are 100% girl. I don't think of you as being a soldier at all. At least, I mean, a Jedi Knight is one thing, but an actual soldier in the Israeli army, what were you required to do?
Okay, first I'll start. To serve the Israeli army, it's compulsory. We all have to. My role was to train beginners, how to use a gun, discipline and stuff. It's something unusual. I think it's an unusual experience. And I think it gave me a lot. And maybe it helped me a bit to get the role in Star Wars as well.
Okay, well, we'll get there. I want to know how you got into acting.
Okay, I used to live in Sydney, Australia, as I mentioned before. Most of the stuff that I did was modeling work. I did get to TV, like I did TV commercials and being one of the aerobic all-star girls. It's an aerobic show in Australia. People probably know. Yeah, and then one day my agency approached me, asked me if I want to be involved in Star Wars. I said yes. And that's how I got involved. And yeah, it's just pretty much lucky. And it's a great opportunity to be involved in such a big production. And actually, it's attracted me to go and study in acting school. A couple of months ago, I finished my acting school in Israel. And I'm going to get into this industry, the film industry in Israel. Yeah, and it's great.
Now, does Israel have a large film industry?
Yeah, not as big as here in the States. But yeah, they have enough work. And I love it. I mean, it's nice. It's not the only thing that I'm doing, but yeah, definitely it's one thing that I really like to do.
Now, when you got the call to be in Star Wars, was this something that you had auditioned for, or did they just approach your agent, they liked how you looked, and they thought you'd make this great Jedi Knight Shaak Ti come to life?
They asked me to go there. I met George Lucas and the cast. I assumed they liked the way I looked, and they fit what they wanted, and that's how I got the role.
What kind of guy is George Lucas?
Oh, he's a very nice guy. It was a wonderful guy to work with. All the people on set were very nice, and the vibe was just excellent. And I definitely had a great time working on set, even though sometimes it was a bit difficult, you know, with the outfit was heavy and uncomfortable to walk with. But it was all like fun and a great experience.
So did you grow up a fan of Star Wars?
No, actually, no. It's a bit different in Israel. Here it's a cult. People grew up on it. In Israel, no. But I did watch one or two movies and heard about it. But I became more of a fan after I actually got involved in the movie. And it's just a wonderful world and a great experience to be a part of it, part of history.
To say the least, Shakti has a very striking look, and it must have taken a long time for them to make you look that way, right?
Yeah, it took 3 to 4 hours every time. It was a long time in makeup, and to remove it as well, it took another hour or so. It was tough.
How many days did you spend on the set of episode 2?
In episode 2, it was a couple of days. They were shooting it during, I think it was a month or two, but not every day.
And in episode 3, you shot several scenes, but they got cut, right?
Yeah. Actually, I had two dead scenes.
Yes.
One of them was shot in Australia. I was killed by General Rivers.
Yes.
And then they decided to change it a bit. They flew me over to England, and I had another dead scene. I was killed by Anakin Skywalker. And for some reason, they cut it as well. Let's believe that it's for a good reason, that way Shakti never got killed. So, I mean, it's a bit of a shame because it's a nice scene, even though, I mean, I'm getting killed, but it's a quite a nice scene. But maybe all for good when they cut it.
Well, maybe. There's a possibility that Shakti might be resurrected for one of the upcoming TV shows. Do you know anything about that?
Not yet, but hopefully. Yeah.
Well, it certainly would be great if they gave you the call to come back and reprise the character.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to. I would love to play Shakti again.
Do you follow the adventures of Shakti outside the films via the comic books or cartoons?
I try to, yeah. And so many people contact me, send me some links to websites and stuff. And it's just amazing. I mean, even though I had a small part in the movie, Shakti is doing well in the comic books, and you know, had a Lego and cards and games, and it's just it's exciting and it's very flattering. And you know how I had all these action figures, and it's definitely something for life.
Do you maintain a collection of Shakti memorabilia?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Do a lot of people send you stuff in the mail?
I do get some stuff on my mail, and when I go to conventions, I get lots of presents.
Do you find that fans create things for you?
Yeah, I got lots of presents from fans. I get even like action figures that fans made, and statues, and drawings, and all kind of stuff. And it's just, it's great, and it's definitely flattering.
Yeah. That would be the word that I would use, because it must be an extremely flattering experience to have. As we know, Star Wars fans are very passionate about the film franchise, and anyone who had even the slightest connection with the films is revered and celebrated. And it's so nice that you're out there meeting the fans and answering questions. Do fans ever quiz you on Shakti trivia?
Not really, no. No. They usually ask the same questions, like how heavy the parts, the headpiece is, and how is it to work with the...
Well, how heavy was the headpiece?
Oh, it was very heavy. I don't know the exact weight, but it was heavy, totally heavy.
You are wearing contact lenses, aren't you?
Yeah, big ones.
Yeah, because you have blue, no, brown eyes. You have brown eyes, and Shakti has black eyes.
Yeah. And the contact lenses are quite big. They cover most of the eye.
I never really noticed how much jewelry she has on her head, too. I never noticed that. If you take a close look at, we're looking at a really nice shot, a nice portrait of Shakti, and you can really see all this metal surrounding the border of her head. And some other things on the forehead, too. How cool.
Yeah, it is. They actually put lots of effort into the outfit. And it's just amazing the character they created. They put lots of effort in it, definitely.
And did you save any of the mask or makeup or jewelry or any props from the set or anything?
No. But I do have some photos backstage.
Do you have a website where people might be able to see these photos?
Sure. OliShoshan.com.
And what will people find when they go to your website?
You can find some photos, modeling and acting photos, get some photos from conventions, as well as schedule where I'm going to be in some other conventions and some new projects. Go and check.
What can you tell us about what's in the future?
Okay, I'm working on a lingerie line in Israel, which I'm hoping to launch it in next summer. As well, I'm getting into the film industry in Israel. I'm probably going to be involved next month in an Israeli movie. Yeah, I'll keep you posted.
You still have your clothesline?
I done with my sportswear line, but I'm working on a new line for lingerie. And it's going to called Mia Luce, which is there is a meaning in Italian. It's like my name, Orly. It has the same meaning in Hebrew. And yeah, so I'm very excited about it, and I put all my effort now into this.
What does Orly mean?
It's light to me.
Light to me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sure if people go to OrlyShoshan.com and see pictures of Orly, you'll understand light to me, indeed. To play the role of Shakti, did you have to go through any fencing training to wield the lightsaber?
Not really, but just before we went on screen, one of the guys showed a little bit of techniques, how to use a lightsaber, but I pretty much used mine. So we didn't really have to have like a special technique. Everyone used pretty much his own, and yeah, it was fun playing.
Did you take any direction from George Lucas on the set?
Yeah, George Lucas was the whole time on set, and he directed us.
Did you find him easy to work with?
Yeah, definitely. A very nice guy, and very, it was great to work with. And yeah, as I said before, a great experience, and definitely would love to work with him again.
What do you like to do in your spare time?
I love traveling, as you know. I love sports. I work out at the gym like 3 or 4 times a week. I love shopping and designing as well. It's not only a hobby, it's a professional.
Physical fitness is very important. And to someone like you who has a history of being on aerobic shows and lingerie modeling, obviously you take that very seriously, right?
Yeah, you have to.
What's the most valuable experience that you've had from this whole crazy Star Wars thing, whether it be a movie-related event or a convention? Is there any one particular moment that sticks out where you say to yourself, I can't believe I'm here doing this?
The good time I'm really having is actually in these conventions, meeting up with people, with fans. And actually, I think what made Shakti really big and me is the fans. And it's just, it's a wonderful experience, and I'm having a good time each time and everywhere, you know, around the world. And it's just, it's amazing. And it's, I think even if I'll do like more movies, then they're never going to be like Star Wars. And it's just something for life, and definitely a part of history. And it's just wonderful. And I'm just feel that I'm lucky.
Well, we're lucky to have you. And if there's a show coming to your town and Orly's going to be there, please come up, say hi to her. She loves meeting the fans. She loves signing autographs, and she loves chatting to people. And I can tell you're a people person and that you really are taking a lot out of this whole experience. I certainly hope in the future you'll be able to play Shaak Ti again, whether it be in the TV show or a cartoon or a video game or something. We look forward to seeing you, and just thanks again for the interview.
Thanks.
This is a ForceCast Microcast.
Okay, we're here with Dan Madsen, good friend of the ForceCast. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing good. Thank you, Jimmy Mac.
Now, you went out to the big show out in France. What's that called? Reunion?
Reunion 2. It was in Paris. Yes, about 3 weeks ago at the time of this interview.
And what was that all about?
That was an awesome event. There was about 3,000 French fans there. It was held in a really cool retro 1930s theater, beautiful theater that shows movies and plays and musicals. Just incredibly enthusiastic fans over there. All kinds of unique events that you don't see normally here in America, but I really enjoyed it. It was cool.
Of course, any gathering of Star Wars fans anywhere on the globe is a cool, good time. Did you have your reunion with Anthony Daniels out at this event?
I did, actually. Anthony and I got together. We were signing next to each other's table, and then we went out to dinner together one of the nights, and it was great to see Anthony again. He's a longtime old friend, and our friendship really blossomed when he came out for Star Wars Celebration 1. He came out several weeks prior to the event and really worked side by side with me to build the show and work on everything that went into that. So he's a good friend.
Yeah, and your legacy with Star Wars Celebration is still going strong as they hopefully are getting their act together and preparing Star Wars Celebration 5. Without the help of Anthony Daniels, though, Star Wars Celebration as a whole might not have ever happened.
Very true. Anthony was a key factor in helping get the celebrations off the ground, and especially on Star Wars Celebration 1. He was instrumental in putting the show together, working on convincing Lucasfilm not to cancel the show, as I had mentioned in a previous interview we had done. And then I can't forget also Steve Sansweet, who was an integral part of that very first Star Wars Celebration as well.
Of course, you know, fans everywhere, thank you for getting that off the ground.
Well, it was a labor of love for me. You know, we've heard many times people doing a lot of things within the Star Wars universe, not to make money, but simply to do it for the passion of their you know, their belief in Star Wars. And I got to tell you, you know, I didn't make a dime off that event. It was pure for the love of it. And we went through a lot of struggles with the weather on that event. Had it not been for the weather, I think, you know, there would have been very few complaints at all about the event. But it was something of pure passion.
And it showed. Now let's get to our questions. These questions were prepared by Jedi Master Yoda from Dagobah, and they're for Star Wars fans, and you, sir, certainly qualify. What is your favorite Star Wars film?
Oh, I would have to say the original Star Wars A New Hope. It hands down is my favorite because I have such fond memories about it, working together with my cousins to go see it, and without a question, that was my favorite of all the Star Wars films.
How old were you when Star Wars came out in 77?
Well, I was the prime age. I was 14 years old. And in fact, I think I read an interview with George where he said something like he had designed the movie for 14-year-olds or something. So I was prime age, and I was a teenager.
What's your favorite Star Wars line?
My favorite? Oh, well, it has to be from the master himself, Yoda. And it has to do with the fact that he's little, I'm little. My favorite line was, you know, judge me by my size, do you? That whole scene where Luke doesn't believe and Yoda pulls the X-Wing out of the swamp. That gives me, I got goosebumps now. When I just imagine that scene, it gives me goosebumps. And it was especially inspiring to me because as somebody who's little and for all his life has always had people judge me by my size, I've tried to go out of my way to show people that, you know, size doesn't matter. It's what you can do. It's what's inside your head. It's, you know, your tenacity, your abilities. So that line really hit home with me beyond the fact that I was just a Star Wars fan.
Wow, truly inspiring. And that scene also did a lot to establish the mysticism of Yoda, because it was the first time you actually really saw him using his Jedi powers to do something huge.
Oh, that's true. And in fact, that was more inspiring to me than even watching him in the prequels, because in the prequels, he zips around and he jumps and darts and he's throwing that lightsaber around. I liked it better in the original films, where he was this little crippled guy. And you would look at him and you would say, he's powerless. He can't do anything. He might have knowledge to teach Luke, but he has no power. So to watch that scene in Empire, it had just had that much more impact to see him pulling that X-Wing fighter to say, look, and you could tell he struggled, but he did it. And that had more impact for me than watching him in the prequels as he's zipping around and doing darts. And it wasn't as impactful to me as the original.
What is your least favorite Star Wars line?
My least favorite Star Wars line. Oh, my God. That's a good one. I haven't even thought of that one, to be honest. What's the Luke line in New Hope? But I thought I was going to go to Tosche Station or something. The line where he's whining.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
That line always grates on my nerves every time I hear it.
I never really gave that line any thought until the special editions came out. And I was sitting in the theater, and when he delivered that line, a round of laughter came up out of the crowd. I'm like, boy, he really is whiny, isn't he?
He was. He was really whiny in that scene. But, one of my other favorite lines in the entire series of Star Wars films, it's not even a word. It's when Luke's Uncle Owen is out there negotiating with the Jawa, and he goes, what is this? Is it something to the effect that, this is a piece of crap, and the little Jawa goes, wah!
Yeah,
right.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
What? I love that little wah.
I believe that Jawa was played by Jack Purvis.
Yeah, he was. That's right.
And that was a great little reaction shot. And, it really gave the Jawas a lot of character, too, like the used car salesman sort of.
That's exactly it. It was the used car salesman kind of like, what? I'm not trying to pull anything over you,
Now, the answer you just gave me might qualify for this next question is, what Star Wars moment makes you smile?
I giggle and laugh every time in Empire when Han and Leia are kissing and she goes, I don't like bad men, I like good men or something. He goes, I'm good man or something. And they kiss each other, That I really like.
What Star Wars moment makes you sad?
Star Wars moment makes me sad. One moment that makes me sad is when Chewie is trying to put 3PO back together in Empire. And you kind of hear that crying out in his voice and such. And, seeing his affection for Han when they throw Han back in there and he's kind of blind, he can't see and such. And it just shows you how affectionate Chewie is towards Han. And I guess that probably is the one that would affect me the most.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Now, that's the subtlety. Created by Peter Mayhew's acting and Ben Burtt's, the whimpers that he gave Chewbacca really conveyed a lot of emotion in that particular scene.
That's true. Chewie, people don't realize that, or maybe some do, but, Chewie was really a joint effort. Without Ben Burtt's amazing voice sounds for Chewie, that brought out a lot of the emotion and the character of Chewie, as much as Peter Mayhew's eyes and demeanor and walk and... So I always consider that Chewbacca was a joint effort between Ben Burtt and Peter Mayhew. It really was.
Who is your favorite Star Wars character?
Oh, Yoda, without any question. I've always been inspired by Yoda for the reasons we just mentioned, but I just like his philosophy. I like the fact that he's a thinker. I like the fact that he has this kind of mystical aura around him. And he doesn't put up with any crap. I mean, he'll kick anybody's butt, Doesn't matter how big they are. So, without question, Yoda is my favorite.
Yoda represents a lot of what I consider to be the soul of Star Wars.
Without question. And, let's face it. A lot of the philosophy of Star Wars and such is expressed by Yoda. He embodies what the whole Force is about and such. And I just think he's such an integral character to it now that... and kids love him, adults love him, he has fans across the board, so.
Definitely universal love for Yoda. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, do you have a least favorite Star Wars character?
My least favorite Star Wars character.
Holiday special does not count.
I was gonna. I was just about to say Chewie's family and the holiday special. I can't even remember their name. What is it? Winky and Dinky or something? Or what? I don't know what their names were. I would have to say that my least favorite character, well, I'm going to have to give you the pat answer, and that would be Jar Jar Binks. I mean, I hate to, I'm sure you hear that a million times, but that's the truth. I mean, you know, he's probably my least favorite.
Where do you think George went wrong in developing the character of Jar Jar?
Well, you know, it's like anything. You know, whenever you set out to make a movie, nobody sets out to make a bad movie. They all write the script. They do the script. They think it's going to be the best script that they can do to shoot it. And then, you know, the public responds to it. So I'm sure when George sat down to make Jar Jar, he thought this was going to be the next big hit. Kids would just adore him and love him, want to cuddle his little plush doll. And, you know, he just didn't turn out to be that way. He was irritating, and people wanted to kill him. So you got to give George slack, because George is the guy who also created Yoda and Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi. And so, you know, his track record is pretty damn good. He's got far more hits than misses. So I forgive him for Jar Jar Binks.
But definitely your next endeavor will not be president of the Jar Jar Binks fan club.
No, not if I want to have more than one member in the fan club.
This is assuming you know of a Star Wars curse word. Do you have a favorite Star Wars curse word?
Oh my God. What would it be? No, I don't have a curse word, but my favorite Star Wars word that's not a word was, once again, I keep coming back to the Jawas, who I just absolutely love. Their character, their demeanor, everything about them. They're cute, they're little. But the one that goes, "Ootini!
Ootini!"
I don't know that that's a curse word. Maybe it is, who knows, but that's my favorite.
What job or occupation would you like to have if you lived in the Star Wars universe?
Oh, I want to be a badass bounty hunter, man. Big time. That's what I would love to be. I'd love to walk around with a big gun on my hip, looking bad, chasing the guys around the universe, having them, you know, a slave one to cruise through the galaxy in, you know, stopping by the cantina, getting a drink, hanging out with the hot chicks that hang around the bar. So, yeah, bounty hunter, without any question.
You got to be your own boss.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, nobody tells me what to do, and I can, you know, I'm my own boss. I get to do go after anybody I want, you know. So I would say a bounty hunter. I wouldn't like working for Jabba the Hutt, but I'd like to be a bounty hunter.
And what job wouldn't you want to have?
I wouldn't want to be an Imperial guard working underneath Darth Vader, because you piss him off and that's it, you know. You get your throat crushed or whatever, so I would have to say working as one of the Imperials under Vader would not be a job I would want, because even if the situation goes bad, by nothing you've done, you're screwed.
Right. Not too much job security there at all.
No, Vader doesn't care whether it was your fault or not. If you fail him, too bad.
And the last question is always kind of, it's a strange one for sure, but if another Star Wars movie was made and you were cast in it, what would you want to hear George Lucas say after he says cut on your last scene? Now, of course, Dan, I should tell our listeners, you were in The Phantom Menace. Now, after George said cut, do you recall him saying anything after he shot your scene?
He said, "Who cast that guy? You know, where'd they find that guy?" No, I guess if I heard George, obviously, if he said cut in a new film and I was in that role, I would probably hope to hear him say, "Let's do a spinoff with that guy." That's what I want to hear him say.
And that would be the greatest answer to hear.
Absolutely.
Well, Dan, thanks a lot for your time. As always, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Jimmy Mack, I'm a fan of everything you guys do on TheForce.net, so it's an honor to be here with you.
When hooves of the first advance reached the 501st, we knew that now we'd have to take the battle into space.
There's one set for stun. Before Lord Vader, we have a prisoner. The Death Star plans are not in the main computer. Move along. Move along.
We're here with James Ross from the 501st Garrison Tyrannus from Virginia. How's it going, James?
Hey, very good. How you doing?
Great. What brings you to Chicago today?
Well, we've been trying for some time to get Anthony Forrest into the 501st, do the honorary membership, and we finally put it together, and we're here in Chicago to do that.
So this is great. Anthony is finally going to become a member of the 501st. He, of course, was the sand trooper from the scene in A New Hope. that made the traffic stop in Mos Eisley, right?
Right, exactly.
So we're looking forward to this. This is going to be a great time.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great, because what better person than Anthony Forrest to, you know, with the majority of the costumes in the 501st are, in fact, stormtroopers or sand troopers. And so to have Anthony Forrest, as he was the sand trooper, to have him join our ranks is really exciting for us.
Now, have you inducted any other members from the Star Wars celebrity community into the 501st?
Personally, I haven't. My garrison did a couple of years ago, Christopher Lee.
Wow. That's more than just Star Wars royalty. That's Hollywood royalty for sure.
Right. Exactly. It's a privilege.
So great. Well, we're looking forward to it, and we'll be covering it here on the Forcecast.
Hey, thanks a lot.
How long have you had these droids?
About 3 or 4 seasons.
They're up for sale if you want them.
Let me see your identification.
You don't need to see his identification.
We don't need to see his identification.
Well, Anthony, I know it's taken a while to put this together, but I'm very excited to be here in Chicago today to finally welcome you into the 501st as an honorary member. I think I speak for all members of the 501st when we say just how excited we are that you are coming on board.
James, it's wonderful. I'm very proud to be a member of the 501st. I think it's great. Fantastic organization. It's done such wonderful work. And I look forward to the future and what we can do together.
Fantastic. Well, without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and present you with what we've been waiting for. This is your plaque.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm just going to go ahead and read it. It says, in appreciation of your contribution to the Star Wars legacy, Anthony Forrest is welcomed as an honorary member of the 501st Legion fan organization. Welcome aboard, Anthony.
Thank you, James. Thank you.
I know that George didn't let you keep your stuff, so you got to have something here, man. We brought something else for you. And this is from Tony Segun.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
So I want to present you with your own bucket.
Thank you so much.
And that came from Tony in Hawaii.
Oh, I want to thank him. Oh, Tony, thank you. If you anybody covers this with the press or anything, thank you so much for this.
Absolutely. Thank you for just taking the time to spend with us.
Oh, this is great.
And this is Garrison Tyrannus and the Pacific Outpost that has sponsored this membership. So. Very good. We got a few other things for you, too.
I'm going to have to make a trip out there.
Yeah, right? Maybe we can get him on the phone.
Yeah.
Also, Anthony, I know now that you're in the 501st, it's only fitting that you are part of the 501st Sand Trooper Detachment, the MEPD.
Right.
And not only did this helmet come from Tony, but it's from all the guys at the MEPD. And we want to welcome you aboard the MEPD as well.
Oh, thank you so much. It is wonderful. And you know what? I'm very proud to be a Sand Trooper.
We're proud you're a sand trooper, too.
We're not afraid to get dirty.
That's right. Thank you, Anthony.
Okay, thank you.
So, Anthony, congratulations.
Thank you, thank you.
Must be an honor for you.
Yes, it is. It's a great organization, wonderful guys. They've been very supportive, and over the years, you know, they're fans, and that's a wonderful thing to have.
Well, congratulations on all your contributions to the Star Wars universe and to becoming an official member, an honorary member of the 501st.
You know, I'm in very good company.
This is a Forcecast Microcast.
We're here in Schaumburg, Illinois for the Chicago Toy and Game Fair, and hanging out with us is Chris Mock from The Force Among Us. How's it going, Chris?
It's going good, man. It's going good. This is our last panel today from the busy 07 World Tour that we did. So it's a bittersweet feeling in the air for sure.
Any updates you could tell us on The Force Among Us? What's next?
Well, I think what we're looking at right now is we're looking to do something for the 30-year anniversary of Empire Strikes Back. And we've been talking with the Kirshner family lately, and we're hoping that we can get our leftover Norway footage, which we have about 20 hours of, and get a chance and a great opportunity to interview Irvin Kirshner and tie that in with our Norway footage and kind of celebrate the Empire Strikes Back. You know, in 2010, of course.
You're always thinking. You always got something going on. How can people get The Force Among Us?
You know, right now, the only way to get The Force Among Us is by going to the website. And this is the first time I'm going to announce this, but on Rebel Scum and TheForce.net, we're going to let them know that you can get free shipping worldwide in December, and we do have some leftover sand. So it'll be your last opportunity to get the Tunisian sand. It'll make a great Christmas gift, great holiday gift. We have a distributor looking at us right now, and we'll probably get distribution next year, but right now this film is it's a limited pressing. So when you see the re-release of it, you won't get all the bonus features that are on there now. It's going to be more of a stripped-down version for 08.
So check it out. It's The Force Among Us. one of the finest, if not the finest, documentary about Star Wars fans. Now, we've talked about that enough. Let's get to our questions put together by Yoda from Dagobah. These are Star Wars questions that you are now going to answer. Are you ready?
I am ready.
What is your favorite Star Wars movie?
Revenge of the Sith.
Why is Revenge of the Sith your favorite Star Wars movie?
Because it's a movie about tragedy. It's the darkest movie out of all six films, and there's still so much hope at the end of that movie, you know? And I think we've all been in the situation where we've all made a mistake. We've all bought into a lie. And I just related to Anakin and Obi-Wan in that film probably the most, you know? And it was just, it was a great way to end the saga, all six films. You know, it was, George went out with a bang when he did episode 3, without question.
What is your favorite Star Wars line?
I got a bad feeling about this. Talking about tragedy, I got a bad feeling about this. This is my favorite Star Wars line.
What's your least favorite Star Wars line?
Probably one of those scenes in episode 2 where the Judy Jetson droid picks up C-3PO when he goes, "Oh, it's a nightmare." One of those cheesy episode 2 C-3PO lines drives me nuts. Or I'm so confused when he's in the battle droid army. That was out. Those lines are bad for me.
What Star Wars moment makes you smile?
What Star Wars moment? These were written by Yoda, weren't they?
Yes.
I don't know, man. I really don't know. I don't know if Star Wars is a movie that I smile about. It's more of a thinking movie for me, you know? Smile. I can't answer that. I'm going to have to pass on that one.
Well, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a humorous scene or something comical. It can just be something that makes you feel good about watching Star Wars. Is there a moment in the saga that sort of reaches out to you?
Actually, when Anakin fires up the pod racer. And he goes, it's working. There's something about that scene. Because you have the deep moment with Anakin and Shmi, and then they cut to Anakin. There's something about that scene that makes me feel good.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great answer, because that really was a feel-good scene. That almost gave me goosebumps when I saw that.
Even when I see it again and again, it's still my... And, of course, the music. John Williams' music is just... A lot of those feel-good scenes, you have to realize that there's so much of John Williams behind that feel-good, you know, that feel-good feeling, if you will. So,
great answer. What Star Wars moment makes you sad?
The Star Wars moment that makes me sad is definitely the duel between Obi-Wan and Anakin. And what moment? I don't know. You know what moment I really love is when Obi-Wan is swinging on the rope and he's fighting with Anakin, and there's that look in his face when you see the lava waterfall. And he's just like, "I don't believe what has happened to my best friend." And same with Yoda, too. You have Yoda when he fights Sidious in that Senate room, which is one of my all-time favorite fights. And there's this look on Yoda's face. It's like, "I don't believe, I didn't know that this evil existed." You know, so there's a lot of emotion going on. And I don't know if that answers your question. But there's a lot of emotion going on in those fights that I really love, you know.
Who is your favorite Star Wars character?
It depends on what day I'm having. Today, maybe a little bit of Obi-Wan Kenobi from the prequels.
Any particular reason?
He's always thinking about the next thing, and at the same time, he's always concentrating on the now. You know, he's always on the move, I think, you know.
You relate to that a little bit, huh?
A little bit too much, I think.
Well, I'm looking right now at the Force Among Us World Tour 2007 shirt and all the dates on it. And I could tell you're, like Obi-Wan, always on the move.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Who is your least favorite character?
My least favorite character. Well, it would be cliche to say Jar Jar. But I don't know if Jar Jar is my least favorite. But I think all the characters in the Star Wars universe are liked. I like them all. You know who I don't like? I don't like the librarian in episode 2. Jocasta is her name, I believe.
Jocasta New?
Yes. She's a mean, evil thing, man, you know?
She is a librarian, though.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something about her. Every time I see that, that's not a feel-good scene for me, you know?
She does kind of crack the ruler on Obi-Wan's knuckles a little in that scene, doesn't she?
Yeah, and of course I'm an Obi-Wan fan, and you know there's something one of my favorite parts about Episode 2 is the mystery behind this missing planet, you know, and all of a sudden he's asking her, and she's no help, and she's mean and evil, and it's like, come on, you know? That's my least favorite character.
All right, good answer. What is your favorite Star Wars curse word?
I'm sure R2 says a few, but I can't translate that. So something R2 says, I'm sure.
What job, occupation, would you like to have if you lived in the Star Wars universe?
I would want Han Solo's job, a smuggler, without question.
What would you be smuggling?
Do we have to keep this clean here? I would probably smuggle bootlegs.
Of like Figuring Dan's band and stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like the New Year's Eve gig in Mos Eisley, you know.
The rare Max Rebo set from Valentine's Day on Coruscant.
Something musical related in the Star Wars. I would be bootlegging them, you know.
Jefferson Starship. Holiday special reference there, folks.
What's today's date?
Today is November 17th, I believe.
Today is the anniversary of the Star Wars Holiday Special. It is. And the way I know that is because I picked up the Boba Fett figure, the holiday debut, and it said that on there. I just picked that up a couple days ago, and I'm like, that's coming up. So happy life day to you.
Happy life day to you, too. Hey, listen, what do you think of that holiday special?
You know, the holiday special, I think, it's crazy. It's wacky. It blew me away just because it was so weird. I picked up a bootleg copy of that in 94, and I heard so much story about it, and that was before the internet. So I kept reading about it. I'm like, what is it? Does this even exist? And I was at a record show where they were selling a bunch of bootlegs, and this guy had a bootleg of it. I bought it, and I went home and watched it, and I was like, this is the weirdest. It was weird, man. I mean, of course, it's crazy to see Carrie Fisher singing in the bad makeup job on Mark Hamill and all the cuts from, you know, A New Hope thrown in there and the Wookiee family and the little dance around the chessboard. I can go on and on. Jefferson Starship without Gray Slick. Oh. I mean, it was... and Marty Balin wasn't in the band at the time. It was just weird. The whole thing was weird, man.
Did you ever see when Harrison Ford appeared on Conan O'Brien's show and Conan surprised him with a clip from the holiday special?
No. That one got by me. I didn't see that one.
Well, check it out. I'm going to play a clip of it right now.
Let me ask you something. And this is a question I've wanted to ask you for a while, and I've always restrained myself.
Yeah.
Star Wars, of course, came out 1977, I believe. Huge international hit. One of the biggest hits of all time. Rockets you to superstardom. And then shortly afterwards... Mm-hmm. A Christmas special came out that was produced by George Lucas, in which all of the participants in Star Wars came together, and they made this Star Wars Christmas special, and the tape's been passed around for years, and the rumors that Lucas is trying to suppress it because none of you look happy while you're making this thing. And I thought I'd just ask you about it. Do you remember making this Christmas special? I think it was 1978. No, you don't remember it? You have no memory of this incident.
No, none whatsoever.
No memory of it at all.
No,
so
no.
It doesn't exist in your...
No, it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
No.
So as you can see, Harrison Ford was not happy with Conan confronting him with the reality of the holiday special.
I could have... Harrison Ford is still kind of... He's kind of like Natalie Portman and Alec Guinness. You know, he believes that Star Wars is his past. You know, he doesn't celebrate it as much like Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill. So I'm not surprised that he wasn't happy about that confrontation.
The holiday special, Happy Birthday. Oh, boy.
Only I would know something like that.
Now, back to occupations. What job would you not want to do in the Star Wars universe?
I don't know if I'd want to be a Jedi Knight. You know, if I was a, and I love the Jedi from the prequels. It's those are my favorite characters, I think, all time. Plo Koon is my favorite character, one of my favorite characters. Qui-Gon Jinn was the perfect Jedi for me, but he made a bad Jedi. because he wasn't on the council. He didn't follow the rules. He didn't have the dedication and commitment. I think being involved that spiritually in something, I don't know if I would make the perfect Jedi, you know. It would be a hard commitment to make, man, for sure, you know.
It's a lot of rules, and you have a problem with authority. We all know that.
Yeah, I do. And Jedi would not be the occupation that I would succeed at. You know, I would probably be one of those Jedis that turn to the dark side, you know, eventually, you know, like Deepa Bilba was Mace Windu's apprentice, and I believe went to the dark side. You know, I'd be one of them, you know.
And the last question. If another Star Wars movie was to be made and you actually got a role in it, you were cast in it, what do you want to hear George Lucas say after he says cut, after filming the final scene? He says cut, great. What would you like to hear come out of his mouth after he says that?
Deeper, more emotional. That's what I'd like to hear him say.
Faster, more intense.
Yeah, faster, more intense, and then deeper, more emotional. I think if George put those four together and made a new movie, man, that's all that Star Wars fans could ask for.
All right, Chris, of course, it's theforceamongus.com. Pick up your copies of The Force Among Us. Makes a great gift for the holidays. Chris is still sitting on some of the sand he brought back from Tunisia, so it's authentic Tatooine sand, and he'll dump it in a vial for you, and free shipping.
I'm going to eat a lot more shipping costs again, you know, especially we're doing worldwide free shipping. So, we're doing free shipping for the holidays, you know.
Great stocking stuffer.
Yeah, I think it fits perfectly in a stocking, you know. It would be a good stocking stuffer. And if you want to buy the film for somebody and keep the sand for yourself, hey, that's a way to go too, you know. So.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
Hey, thanks again for having me on the show as always.
Well, there you have it, Forcecasters, my report from the 2007 Chicago Toy and Game Fair. Big thanks go out to Orly Shoshan, Anthony Forrest, Dan Madsen, Chris and Courtney Mocked with The Force Among Us. For more information on their film, be sure to visit theforceamongus.com. Chris Spice from sandtroopers.com, great guy, great site. And Jim from federationtoys.com. For great deals on Star Wars stuff, be sure to visit federationtoys.com. And thank you for listening.
For theforce.net and rebelscum.com, I'm Jimmy Mag.
May the Force be with you, bro.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.